All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, January 30th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 10-game NHL main slate as well as a 5-game NBA main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. Let's get SaberSim up here. And we had one question come in prior to the show, so we'll start with that question, and then we'll probably jump into a slate demo here. So first question from Black Mamba said, I have a couple questions regarding NBA DFS FanDuel. Last night, Sims liked some of the Wizards players. If I wanted more exposure to higher scoring environments, should I up the exposures via the games tab or the teams tab? Do you recommend adjusting exposures to higher scoring games? Okay, so two questions here. First one is like, hey, how do I kind of target a specific game, right? So let's just talk about the differences between team stacks and games here, which is game stacks. Team stacks refer to lineups that have two or more players from a single team. Okay, so in order for this to be a stack, I'd have to have two players from Minnesota, two players or more from Cleveland, right? Game stacks work differently. The way game stacks work is if you have one player on one team and one player on the other team, that is in fact a game stack. It is a 1-1 game stack. So typically, you know, if people are targeting high scoring environments, that usually means that, you know, they're expecting the game to be like a shootout, right? Back and forth, back and forth. We were talking about this on a show earlier this week. Like if you pull up like a shooter, you know, they typically have positive correlations to some other shooter on the opposing team here, right? So we had looked at Steph Curry and all of his positive correlations were to other shooters like on the opposing team. But we even see it with some of these other, you know, high scoring players like Anthony Edwards. His highest correlations, Keontae George, Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton. You know, these are guys that are shooting the ball a lot, have the ball in their hands. So it's like, hey, when Edwards is scoring a lot, you know, chances are the other team's like trying to keep up, maybe increasing their pace a little bit. So in order to do this, you know, to get more exposure to these environments, you can do one of two things, right? Games would be the simplest, you know, coming in here and just setting a minimum exposure to the game. That will make sure, you know, that you have so many players from both sides in X amount of lineups. It's going to be the most specific. Second thing you could probably do, you know, you can always change the team totals, right? Like, hey, you know, I think that Houston, Memphis is going to shoot out. You know, I could come in here, I could change Houston, you know, bump them up a couple points, maybe like 3 points, bump Memphis, or I didn't mean to do that, wrong column, 118.5. And then I go to Memphis, do the same thing, like 123.7. I click, I'm going to remove the question. Down here on the bottom, my face is blocking it. Let me just do that. So you guys see this apply changes to game option here. So then you got to click apply, right? And then let's click apply. I'll bring my face back. We click yes. Okay. So after clicking yes, right? Second thing you got to do, go back to the players tab. You have to go to this gear icon and then switch to SaberSim adjusted. Okay, so we have our baseline SaberSim projections, and then we have the adjusted ones with your team total differences, and we can see the team totals are updated here in the game stat. Okay, so I switched to Saber Sim Adjusted. And then for these teams, right, I could see their projections change, right? Up, down, whatever it is. So the way that this is working is, you know, some people might say, hey, you know, why did we increase the team totals and some players' points move down, right? That's a question we get. Well, the way this works is that, you know, imagine we have, you know, we have 5,000 sims of the game, right? We have them all on like this spectrum, okay? So on the spectrum, the, you know, we add them all up, we divide, you know, how many points the team scored by the number of sims, we get the mean effectively. That's what we're showing, right? What you're doing when you are changing the team totals is you're basically excluding sims. So what happens here is, okay, you know, we want sims where Houston and Memphis score higher. We're going to go and discard some of the lowest scoring sims, right? And then that will just increase the mean team total since we're focusing on a section of sims where the team scored more, not when they scored less, right? So I'm not 100% sure, you know, how these players move up or down, but all I do know is that it would appear that in some of the lower scoring sims, you know, some players like Jalen Green did better. I don't know why, but can't, you know, break it down fully, but that's what's happening here. Okay. So regardless of like the outcome, you know, when you're narrowing the sims, that's what's going to happen. Now, if you don't want that to happen, well, you can always just not do the team total adjustments. And, you know, let's say like you're on baseline Saber Sim, you can just come in here and update their projections, right? Maybe you want to bump everybody by half a point. Maybe you want to bump everyone by 1 point or something along those lines. So that's what I would be doing here if you want to target higher scoring environments. And then messed up. Second part of the question was, do you recommend adjusting exposures to higher scoring games? I wouldn't say so. You know, in general, the builder, right, has the team totals up here. Clearly the builder knows like what games are higher scoring, and then that gets reflected in the player projections, right? So like in order for the game to be higher scoring, the players have to shoot more. The pace has to be faster, right? All those things are taken into account in the sim. So like the sim knows what the highest scoring game is, and chances are, you know, ownership reflects that, projections reflect that, and it's all kind of already being baked in. So I don't think you need to do a ton there in order to do anything, in order to, you know, I don't think there's like a ton of edge, like hyper focusing on like high scoring game environments. But that's just my opinion, right? I could definitely be wrong. All right. Good stuff there. We are going to jump into a slate demo here. So why don't we build some lineups for this 5-game NBA slate tonight? So first thing I would do, right, come in, make 2 adjustments, 2 projections. We're just going to build 500 lineups for this demo. I'm going to kick this off, and then I'm going to jump to the contest tab. Let's say I'm playing the $4.20 max, right? Okay, I come in here. I set up my custom sim. Great. Go back to my build. Question in the chat. Can you look at this lineup for me if you don't mind? Sure. You know, I don't know what I'm going to I don't know how many opinions I'm going to have about it, but sure, why not? All right. So we're going to continue with the slate demo here. And you know what? Let me just make sure no more questions are rolling in office hours. So lineups are loading anyways. All right, cool. We are caught up in office hours. Let's do a hard refresh here. And we're just waiting for this to load. Okay, boom, lineups loaded. Cool. All right, we come in here. We click the Run Contest Sim button. Give me 1 second here. So lineups are running. I'm sorry, Contest Sim is running. And after the contest sim finishes, the builder will auto switch to target contest ROI. That's totally fine as long as you have a entry file uploaded, right? So you could see the ROI switch here. Okay, perfect. We did say this was the $4.20 max. So we have 20 lineups. Good. What I'm going to do is come in here, move some columns around, sort by exposure. I need to change this just because I don't have a custom, or just because I'm using a custom sim, right? Okay. Switch my ROI, my exposures update, my aggregate metrics update. I only have an average projection one right now, but I need to add an ROI one here. So let me add that. And we're going to click the gear icon for aggregate metrics and go average. You could use target contest ROI again, as long as you have an entry file uploaded here. I'm going to use this custom one since I don't. So then I would switch down to 4-point play. Go to ROI, click save. Cool. So sorting correctly, got my aggregate metric for ROI, got my aggregate metric for projection. I'm basically all set, right? Now it comes time for risk management, which we talk about a lot, right? Like, hey, let's come in here, let's adjust our uniques, and then let's find a set of lineups that we're happy with, right? So we're going to uniques, changing, watching how the aggregate metrics change, verifying exposure and leverage, carry over to every sport. And I said yes. You know, I think it's like a pretty sport agnostic approach that works kind of across the board. So I would definitely not be worried about using it in other sport types as well. So just a small note for you guys there. But anyways, let's keep going here, and I'm all set. So we're going to start increasing uniques. We'll go from 1 to 2, noting how things change, right? ROI is like 215, average projection 262. Everything looks fine. Okay, we go to 3 uniques. Okay, good. We go to 4 uniques. We're still not even like this is, you know, this is always like really cool. We go from 1 unique to 4. We've sacrificed less than 10% ROI and like maybe a point in projection. This is guaranteeing that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, half of the players in every lineup you're playing is different from every other lineup, right? There's 8 players in an NBA lineup. We're saying 4 players must be different per lineup. And so that's half the lineups, and we've barely sacrificed any of our aggregate metrics to do so. So what does that do, right? What impact does that actually have on your lineups? Well, what it really does, right, is it spreads you out across the standings. It makes sure that your lineups and your results aren't clumped together, right? I was talking to somebody about this, like, hey, you know, I was talking to somebody, they say they have success with NBA and they don't use many uniques. You could definitely, you know, be profitable and win at DFS without using many uniques, right? But what happens is that when you use, you know, min unique of 1, your lineups can be very, very correlated, right? So what that means in practical terms is that when you look at the standings, your lineups can be very close together. And, you know, when you have a good day, right, you're going to be really right. You know, a lot of lineups are going to cash, give you more shots at winning. But when you're wrong, and we know that DFS is a sport type where you lose more than you win, your lineups are going to be clumped together over on, you know, the left side of the standings. And that ends up leading to high negative ROI days, right? So we use min uniques as a tool to smooth out some of the swings of DFS by helping you to play sets of lineups that aren't going to be so correlated, that are going to be more spread out throughout your standings. And you'll see that when you use a high number, that, you know, what happens with one lineup really doesn't affect a lot of the others, and they could be like way more spread out. And so if, you know, 10 of your lineups fail, you know, the other 10 probably still even have a shot at winning, right? So that's what Mini Uniques is doing here. And you don't have to use it. It is a tool that is available to you. We do recommend using it for the reasons I mentioned, but here, right? I'm still going with this demo, right? Let's go from 4 to 5. Okay, so here we drop, you know, maybe like 4 points projection total. And then we drop, wow, we actually dropped a lot of ROI. So we went from 208 down to 166. And it looks like most of that ROI is probably coming from the high exposures to LeBron and Jordan Poole at 80 and 75. And then we go to 5 uniques, and then LeBron goes to 55 and Poole goes down to 50. So you got to figure out, you know, is this worth it, right? So we go back to 4 uniques. We see pretty flat leverage to everybody except those two players. We have, you know, a ton of leverage to these two guys in particular, right? When we go from 4 to 5 uniques, you know, a lot of our other leverages stay the same. One player comes up, Conley, over 20% leverage, but LeBron and Poole come down. So, you know, in this case, I would actually be okay with dropping so much ROI and projection, because I kind of know exactly where it's coming from. And then what I'm doing here is I'm saying, hey, rather than being 3x the field on LeBron and Poole, I'd rather be 2x the field, and I'm okay sacrificing projection and ROI to do so. So like in this case, you know, I'm totally cool with going 5 uniques, because I know at 4, the extra ROI is mostly coming from the extra exposure to those two players. And in this case, I feel more comfortable being 2x the field than I do 3x. So that's the process you want to follow. Again, it does work across different sports, and I would feel comfortable using it. All right. So I really don't have any opinions about this lineup. Garland, Dillingham, Mitchell, Wagner, Jackson, Mobley, Gobert, Valanciunas, I see in DFS. NBA, I need to get 300 plus DFS points. Yeah, I mean, generally, you know, the scores you'll need are like probably be over 300. But I don't have a ton of opinions on this lineup off the bat, right? Truth is, I don't even know like what the players' values are, how they fit together salary wise, right? You got to kind of take those things into account. What are the ownership of the players, right? So all of those things kind of fit together. And you know, SaberSim handles a lot of that for you. All right, next question. If I raise a player's projection by 2 to 3 points, is that considered too much of an adjustment? I'm using the old standard subscription, not ultimate. I don't think so. You know, I think it's like fine to raise players' projections, you know, 2 to 3 points. I think when you get into like the 5 to 10 point range, then that's like probably going too far. But I would say any adjustment from 1 to 3 points is probably okay. You know, 3, I think 3 is like a good ceiling to stop at. Probably wouldn't go past 3. You know, if you come in here and you adjust, I don't know. It looks like LeBron's like the highest projected. We have a ton of exposure. You know, I come in here and I take Anthony Edwards from 48 to 52, and then I click apply. And then let's say I'm using, or actually let's do this example with SaberScore. So let's say I go to SaberScore, right? Small slate, let's say 10 to 50K. Okay, I start by exposure, or let's go to projection. So right now I have 20% exposure to Edwards. And then let's say I come in here and bump him by 4 points. His exposure goes from 20% to 45%. That's not so bad, right? And that was like a 4-point adjustment. So I think definitely like 1 to 3 should be okay. It's going to depend who it is too, right? A 4-point adjustment to a high salary player is going to be a lot different than if I came in here and made a 4-point adjustment to, you know, a low salary player like Nikhil Alexander Walker. You know, I come in here, bump him up 4 points. He goes, his value goes up a ton. Interestingly, his exposure doesn't change that significantly. Oh, maybe it's because I'm using 5 uniques. If I change back to 1 unique, he comes up to 75%. So just like be aware of the player's base salary or their base projection and take that into account when deciding where to drop them within that like 2 to 3 point range, right? So I think it's probably safe to say like players that have a lower salary, 3K, 4K, maybe even 5K, stick on like the 2 side, and then players that are like 6K, 7K, 8K, 9K, 10K, maybe be a little bit more willing to go 2 or 3 points with your adjustment there. So that's probably fine all things considered. All right. I see a build review request from Lil Scrap. I will add you to the list for tomorrow. Build review show tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. But with that said, I think we're all caught up here with questions in the Office Hours channel and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for Office Hours. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.